The Early Assessment and Support Alliance, known as ESA in Oregon, is a network of support across the state for teens and young adults experiencing early signs of psychosis. Joining me on the exchange to help us learn more are two guests. Melinda Gale is a retired educator and former administrator with the Portland Public Schools. She's also an ESA parent. Welcome, Melinda.
Thank you for having me.
And Christy Taylor is a young adult services coordinator with the Oregon Health Authority. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Christy, let's start with a simple question. What is psychosis?
Sure. So, psychosis is essentially a set of symptoms where a person is essentially losing touch with reality. So they may begin experiencing things that other people do not, like seeing or hearing things or having behavior changes that seem very confusing to the people around them.
How does that happen? I mean, what triggers that?
There are a lot of different pathways to psychosis. So a person may be predisposed genetically. So there's a family link in some cases. And sometimes it can be from stress or substance use.
Well, tell me about your work at OHA.
Sure. So I am on the child and family team at the Oregon Health Authority, and I am the young adult services coordinator. So I am the contract administrator, and I support all of our young adult behavioral health programs that are OHP or Medicaid in Oregon.
How long have you been there?
I have been in my current role for almost 3 years, but I started working with ESA, the Early Assessment and Support Alliance, in other roles a little over 10 years ago. So I think this program has been absolutely amazing, and it's critical, and I have been fortunate enough to stay with it over 10 years.
So tell me about your pathway. How did you get interested in even pursuing this type of a career?
Sure. Well, I am a social worker. I got my master's in social work from Portland State University, and I had started working out in community mental health back in California before I moved back up to Oregon. And I was living in a rural area at the time, so North Coast, and I saw that they had an opening for their local community health program. And that's where I was introduced to ESA. And it was pretty clear right away that ESA was not treatment as usual. So it's a community-based program that offers a lot of creativity and flexibility in how you engage with people. And I thought the model worked really well, and so I made it a point to stick with it.
Was that your first experience, or have you had previous experience with friends or family?
I do have some personal experience with both friends and family who have experienced psychosis, but I think it wasn't really until I got training with ESA that I really better understood the nature of what was going on.
Hmm. Well, Melinda, I understand that you have some experience. Now, I know you're retired now, but tell me about your experience with youth who have been experiencing signs of psychosis.
Definitely in the public school setting, it's not at all uncommon for families to find themselves in a situation where their loved one is experiencing real disordered thinking or disorganized behaviors and looking for supports or in crisis and needing supports. That certainly was our family experience.
How do you recognize that someone is in some sort of early stage of psychosis?
Yeah. I think for some people it comes on suddenly. For us, it was a period of over a year of increasingly disorganized behavior, disorganized thinking patterns, things that didn't quite add up or make sense. And I think as a parent, you might expect some of that in adolescence. It's not uncommon for an adolescent to exhibit some disordered thinking. But that just became more and more severe until we hit a real scary and dark crisis point.
What do you mean?
For us, our child started expressing things that were very disturbing, things that didn't make sense. They themselves became very, very frightened. I think there's a certainly an awareness of the fact that they're perceiving things that maybe other people aren't. I've heard my child say that's a very, very lonely feeling, to feel like you're the only one in your world. And from the outside, it really, as a parent, it felt a lot like my child had been snatched from me.
Are you talking about paranoia?
A cluster of things. Definitely thinking people were at school, following them, or hearing or seeing things that didn't add up. Having internal symptoms of things within their body being very, very wrong, and being scared that they were dying.
Wow. How was your child when they experienced this type of psychosis?
Did you say how old?
How old?
Yes. I would say it came on around 15, 16, in that time.
And what was the length of time that you went through this with your child, and how did you find help?
Well, we ended up, like I think a lot of families do, in an emergency room. We spent 3 days in the ER waiting for a more appropriate facility to open up. That was just, I don't really have words to experience how challenging a time that was. I think the experience of being in a hospital with an acute mental illness, it almost criminalizes the experience as if you had done something wrong. And of course, we know there's so much stigma already around mental health issues, that it makes it very, very lonely at a time when a family and a person is at their very most vulnerable. There was a lot of confusion about what was happening. So from the ER, we spent 5.5 weeks in a hospital that was a lockdown facility. And our experience there was really very much the same. It was a very chaotic environment, not conducive to healing and getting better. And, you know, we met great people. I don't want to misspeak there. I want to be careful that, you know, the doctors who treated my child had nothing but the best intentions. But that environment, you know, with a lot of people who are at their perhaps lowest point, it's a very hard place to be. So when we left there and joined the ESA program, I wish I had stronger words to emphasize what a lifeline that was. We had the experience of someone actually seeing my daughter and being able to figure out what it was that we needed and to go at the pace that was needed, to provide care and treatment and wraparound services. And I guess I would add to that the way the ESA team supports people, it allows you to really harness all the support networks you might have in place already. So supporting our family so that we could wrap around our child and give them the best support that they deserved. Whereas in the hospital setting, we were really isolated. I just can't emphasize that enough.
My guests are Melinda Gale, a retired educator and former administrator with the Portland Public Schools, and Christy Taylor, a young adult services coordinator with the Oregon Health Authority. I want to find out more about ESA and its availability statewide, but I also want to get a sense of the scope of the problem across Oregon. Christy, can you give me some sense of what kind of data helps us understand the trend in teens and young adults that are dealing with this kind of depression?
I think that's a good question. And we work with what's called the ESA Center for Excellence. So they oversee all of the training for providers statewide, and we collect quarterly data from our participants. So we like to know what the outcomes are. And we are actually in the process of gathering more statewide data from those who might be showing up in the ERs or before they are actually enrolled in the ESA program, so we can better understand how widespread it is and if there are those we might be missing from the program. So stay tuned. We will have more comprehensive data around the statewide trend soon.
Is there data from previous years?
I think that, so on our child and family team at OHA, we have a new data dashboard that has just been created. So, I mean, really you are speaking to the work that is actively happening. So we are looking into that data as we speak.
Okay. How do drugs such as cannabis impact the mental health of young people who may be experiencing early psychosis?
Oh, yes. Cannabis, if you are already experiencing early psychosis, it can exacerbate your experience into a, worsening the symptoms or put somebody in a full psychotic episode if they have not yet reached that level of severity. So it's definitely a risk. And the problem is if you use cannabis, even if you're not experiencing symptoms, it can make somebody start experiencing symptoms, especially if they are predisposed to psychosis and they don't know that. And I think, now with the availability of cannabis that is higher THC, it's not like it used to be. So I think, we are seeing the impacts of that as well. But ESA seeks to serve those who are experiencing schizophrenia spectrum disorder. So it basically will involve more comprehensive assessment if somebody is also using substances, and it looks like that might be the cause of psychosis, so it might not be the most appropriate path of treatment for somebody, but we will definitely do an assessment if there are substances involved.
Melinda, you talked about ESA being a lifeline. How so?
I think that, I considered myself someone who was really pretty aware as an educator about mental health issues, anxiety, depression. And yet when this began happening in our family, it was really, really a confusing time. It was difficult to parse out what was typical, and we found ourselves justifying or explaining things that in hindsight I look back on now and realize, this was the early onset of this psychotic episode. But that was just a very, very confusing time, and to have to learn about what this illness means and how to manage it in a hospital setting was really, really difficult. In part, I think I mentioned in my bio, my child went through 7, 8, 9 different diagnoses and different medications, and all of those have side effects and repercussions. So to be accepted into the ESA program and to get that care that really looked at what we were experiencing and listened to what we were struggling with and provide options for us was an just unbelievable gift.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. We're going to put links to that on our website. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.